Let's pray. Heavenly Father, ask you to hide me behind the cross. Help me to make the message clear, simple, that we can all gather and get something from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Lord's always interested in bringing the best out of each and every one of us. We need to understand that his same wisdom that brought Jesus to the world is at work in each and every one of our lives. He loves you. He cares for you. You have a reason why you're here. You can reach some people that somebody else can't reach. God made you uniquely different. We were talking about fingerprints. How can millions of people have different fingerprints? That's amazing. That's amazing. Millions of people have different fingerprints. It just amazes me. I mean, you know how, look at your thumb, how big is it? Ain't a lot of room on there for a lot of things. But yet, it's special. You're special. Everybody in this world's special. How can you have so many different fingerprints? That's talking about the wisdom of God. God's wisdom. We can see it in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We can see his wisdom there displayed in between all those books of the Bible. And verse 33 of Romans 11 pretty much sums it up. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, unfathomable his ways. Wow, what a powerful scripture. We see it in Christmas. Purpose of this message. His wisdom is very apparent in Christmas. We want to look at God's timing. I've told you a little bit, I gave you a preview. My timing's worthless. God's timing's wonderful. We're looking at God's timing. In Galatians is a reference, chapter 4:4-5. But when the fullness of the time came, what are we talking about, the fullness? Well, it was God's timing. God's perfect timing, by the way. His perfect timing. And when the fullness of the time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem, there it is, the purpose of his coming, that he might redeem those under the law, that we, that's you and me, might receive the adoption of sons and daughters. How many of you, did you like history? Did you like history in school? I like history more now than I ever have. I love history. I study more about history than I did when I was in school. I just really love history. Empires have come and gone. They've risen and they've fallen. Each of them have unique achievements and contributions that they've given to our civilization. I'm going to list, give you a couple empires. The first one was the Egyptians. I thought I'd Google that. I thought I might give you some information on what the Egyptians brought us. When I Googled it and found the paragraph, I wrote in the back of my sermon paper here, I wrote a book. I have the word Egyptians down, but I have nothing under it because when I saw it, it was a paragraph. A paragraph of things that the Egyptians gave us. Just all kinds of things. Building, surveying, medicine, embalming, mathematics. There's just so many things that each of these empires have given our civilization. And then the next empire, we have the Assyrians. I didn't even Google that one, but I'm going to. That just stirred an interest in me. Just to see just what all we enjoy today because of these empires. The Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans. What can you tell me about the Romans? What did we get from the Romans? Our form of government, democracy, voting, privilege to vote. What else? Concrete. I didn't know that. What else do you know about the Romans? The calendar. Yes. There's actually two more things I'm looking for. How about roads? Roads. Construction roads. Do you know why that was important? You want to know why God chose Rome? That's one of the reasons. Because he wanted his gospel to reach as many people as possible. Well, then, Brother Roger, why didn't he wait till our generation? Because we have all kinds of ways to distribute the gospel. That wouldn't work. Because he'd be in prison for the rest of his life, and we'd be giving him three meals a day in prison, so that wouldn't work. So now I touched on what was important for Rome. Rome had for execution what? There we go. God chose Rome because of the cross. That was probably the single most important reason for Rome, the cross. Jesus spoke of the cross. You must bear your cross. He bore his cross for you and me. He suffered intensely, intensely. I can't imagine when those nails were being driven through his hands and he could have stopped it. Could have. It wasn't the nails that kept him on the cross. It was his love for you and me. That's what kept him on the cross. Wasn't the nails. What manner of love. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Think about it every time we take communion. What manner of love. The suffering he did because he loved me. Wow. Jesus' life didn't begin on the day of his birth. Do you know he existed? Always. It was his existence. Book of Genesis says, let us, plural, make man in our image, plural. Father, Son, Holy Spirit always existed. Maybe someday we'll understand it when we get to heaven, but it's awful. It's just tough to quietly understand today. That all three agree in one. They're all one. And yet so uniquely different. Amazing. He was the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. I don't have time to get into all that, but he was the angel of the Lord. In the Old Testament, he appeared to Abraham. He was one that came to Abraham. Because if you remember, when they were talking, he was in conflict with the Pharisees. He was talking about, well, how is it that you're only 33 and you've seen these things? And that's when he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. You think that I'm only 33? Listen, I'm much older than 33. 33 here on earth, but much older. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He was from the very beginning. You know, he had to empty himself of all that power when he left heaven to come here. He emptied himself. He was still deity. He was still God. Also, many times Peter wanted to help him out, you know. Peter drew the sword and cut the Malchus's ear off in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, Peter was going to take care of Jesus. Jesus didn't need Peter. Put your sword away, Peter. If you live by the sword, you're going to perish by it. Don't you understand? I could call legions of angels. When he stood before Pilate, and Pilate asked, what is truth? Truth was standing in his midst. He said, speak to me. Don't you know I have power to do thus and so? And Jesus said, the only power that you have is what my Father in heaven has given you. That's the only power you have. My Father in heaven has given you the power you have. He's given it to you. To this day, for this purpose, did I come into this world to die. 33 years, I just came in this earth to taste death for every man. To know what it's like to suffer in your skin. That's how much he loved you. He came and took on the form of a servant to know what it's like to suffer. He suffered for you and me. He knew what it was like to be hungry. He knew what it was like. He emptied himself. He could have turned stones into bread. He could have. Satan tempted him in that because Satan knew he could. He could do that. That would be no problem. But he tempted Jesus because, you see, Jesus had to be like man. He had to be just like us. So he refused to turn them stones to bread. He took on his humanity. 33 years, I was thinking something I forgot to tell you, that Joseph was probably twice as old as Mary. Mary is 15, Joseph is probably 30. And if you add another 33 years of Joseph, that makes him 63. He's not at the cross, so we know he must have died some couple years before the cross. Joseph passed away because he didn't live as long as we do. Even now, the Old Testament people did. That was a different time, different dispensation. And geographically, our earth has changed. I could go into that too, because I enjoy history. I love history. So Rome had to be Rome because mainly the cross. His place of birth, hundreds of years before him, Micah had prophesied. It was God's choice for the location of the Messiah's birth. I did tell you there's two Bethlehems. The Bethlehem closest to Nazareth is located east of Nazareth. If you look it up in the map, it's not too far from Nazareth, just about halfway between Nazareth and the Mediterranean Sea. Now, all of Israel is no bigger than what state? Anybody remember what it's likened to? It's close to us. All of Israel isn't much bigger than New Jersey. Okay, you heard that before? Maybe you didn't. So there's two Bethlehems. This Bethlehem is located south of Jerusalem. This was further. This Bethlehem was further. I marked my Bible. I'd like to read Micah. Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah. You see, that's what made the difference. Ephratah. That's Bethlehem south of Jerusalem. Bethlehem, Ephratah. Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall be come forth unto me. That is to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. There you go. Micah's talking about the eternity of Jesus. Jesus had no beginning. He had no ending. The cross was no ending for him because he resurrected. So there was no ending for him. God's perfect timing. Rome, Bethlehem, Ephrata. Why? Because Mary and Joseph was of the house and lineage of David. And God could have chose an impressive city, but instead he chose this little place, Bethlehem. Seemingly no significance whatsoever. Does anybody know what the name of Bethlehem means? Sure you do. House of bread. How appropriate. How appropriate for the one who said, I am the bread of life. John chapter 6 and 35. Mary and Joseph were in Nazareth. Well, that wasn't a problem. That was no hindrance to God's plan because he ordained that Caesar Augustus would do what? Make them register in their home place of birth for tax reasons. Cause a census. So they had to go back to their original homes where their origins were so they could register. And of course, put them exactly where they needed to be in order to fulfill prophecy. And so they went to Bethlehem because they were descendants of David, Luke 2, verses 1 through 7. These politicians thought they were in charge. Well, like I told you before, they were merely being used by the Lord to fulfill his plan. By the way, every ruler is that way. God brings rulers and takes rulers out. Remember Nebuchadnezzar who walked out and thought he was going to say, look what my hands have done. Look at this beautiful place. Ah, God's able to raise up and he's able to abase. And he made him like an animal. His fingernails grew and he ate grass like an ox. God's able to raise one up or to bring one down. It's God's power. It's his power. Wow. How about the birth announcement? The announcement. We had the timing, the place, and now we have the announcement. Wow. He wanted to authenticate his message. The Messiah's birth. So he sent angels from heaven to the shepherds. I spoke of Mary and Joseph. I'll speak more of the angels and the shepherds next Sunday, Lord willing. But to these group of shepherds, do you know these shepherds were looked at as lowlife? They were really lowlife. Do you know a shepherd couldn't even be used as a witness? They were that much lowlife, they couldn't even be used as a witness. That's how they were looked upon. They were actually just, they were stinky, they were smelly. I mean, they're sheep herders, right? They were just nasty. Nasty in respect, they were just dirty. They can't help it. That's just what they did for a living. It's amazing. He used the shepherds. The angels came to the shepherds, and they heard the great news that there is a baby born in Bethlehem. And they went to go see what the angels said, and after that they proclaimed to everybody they seen. They gave their testimony of this beautiful, beautiful baby that was born. Oh, it was their response. They went immediately to see what the angels told them. Then we have the incarnation. There our God's wisdom is certainly on full display when Jesus became human. That's just what incarnation means. Deity took on human flesh. In his conception, miraculous, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of a virgin, Luke chapter 1, 26 through 35. The eternal Son of God, who had no beginning nor no ending, became a human baby without surrendering his deity. How amazing to be the Savior. He had to be the perfection of God. That's why the Holy Spirit had to be the seed, because he had to be perfect. He'd be a perfect Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God, to die for our sins. He had to be the perfect Lamb of God. And then we have the surroundings. The surroundings. He wasn't born in a palace. They thought he could find place in the inn. Instead, they put him in a stable. Actually, it was like a cave. It was a cave. I was in that spot in Israel. And so he's put in a cave where the cattle and the sheep, and they had trough layer. Actually, his trough was not like the basket that normally is shown. It was probably concrete or stone. It was probably hollowed stone. They hollowed a hole out in the stone. They used it for a trough. So they had to put some straw or something there to make it comfortable for him. Just a hard little manger, and they put him there. But you know, Jesus was in good company because, as I said, he was going to be the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God, born in a place where the cattle and the sheep were, but he was coming to be the Lamb of God that would be slaughtered almost as it was a lamb slaughtered. That's the reading we get in Revelation. That's the reading we get as a lamb taken to the slaughter. Who can open up the seals? Revelation said, who can open them? The lamb can. The lamb can open the seals. Wow, beautiful. Then we have the name Jesus. It was a common name in that day. In Hebrew, it's, does anybody know? Joshua. In Hebrew, it's Joshua. It means Jehovah's deliverer. It's exactly what the Messiah was. God told Joseph to name the child Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. Matthew 1, 20 and 21. A name above any other name, the only one by which we can be saved. When one day the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth. That name, that's why the devil hates it. That's why they don't want to hear it in the halls of Congress anymore. You can pray, but you don't use that name. Don't use that name. The devil hates it. The name of Jesus. Don't use the name, the devil says. You don't hear that name much because it's the devil trying to erase it, but he can't. He can't. And then finally, we see the purpose. He sent his son for our redemption. To this purpose came I into the world. The purpose is the cross, our redemption. My sins are forgiven today. I have a home in heaven today. I'm looking forward to seeing my loved ones. Eternity awaits all of us. Who doesn't want to live forever? It's foolish to not desire to want to live forever. Any of you study about the Egyptians? I've done some studying. I've done some reading on the Egyptians. They believed in immortality. That's why they stuffed the tombs and the pyramids so much with earthly things. It was stuffed in there for the afterlife. Grave robbers knew it when they were putting them in there, and that's why a lot of the tombs were robbed. The only one that they actually did find that wasn't robbed was Tutankhamun. And there we have an idea of how the Egyptians felt about afterlife. They want to live forever. So they put things in the tomb for their afterlife. But I can tell you that only Jesus can give you an afterlife. Only he can. Only he can give you an afterlife. If you don't know him today, you need to. Invite him to come and live in your life. And you can have eternal life as well. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and invite him to come and live in your life. The baby in the manger was born to be the Lamb of God who came to give his life as a ransom for many, Matthew 20, 28. You see, we could never be good enough to be reconciled to God. We're all born with a sin nature. Jesus alone was qualified to bear God's wrath for our sins so we today could be forgiven. Every detail of the plan of redemption was wisely fulfilled by our Heavenly Father. He planned it all. Did you know that when Eve took of the fruit, God already had the plan? Did you know that? He already made the plan for redemption all the way back when she took the fruit. She disobeyed and took what God told her not to do, but she did. He already had the plan in mind. You see, we know that because he showed them how to make sacrifice. They put fig leaves on, but God gave them coats of skins. Where did the skins come from? After having showed how to make sacrifice. And the sacrifice had to have blood. The sacrifice had to have blood. You see, all the way back to Genesis, God had this plan in mind. Would you bow your heads? Time to go home. Heavenly Father, what a joy and privilege I've had today to share your precious word. It's always a privilege and a joy. And I look forward to it each and every Sunday. Thank you for allowing me to do this today. Thank you for these people. I pray, Father, Lord, that you'll just continue to have your will and your way in each and every one of their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say, amen. Lord bless you.